Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. And we are going to begin our worship service in just a moment. But before we do that, we do need to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thy mercy, and thy grace. And we invite thee here tonight. We ask, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy spirit would be here tonight. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. For we know that thy promises are true. We know that thou hast promised, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we believe that tonight, Lord. So we ask, O God, for thy spirit to be here. We ask for thy guidance and thy direction in all things. We ask for thy blessing to be upon this service. Let each and everything we do here this night be pleasing in thy sight. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. And we, as we so often do, are going to start with number 91 in the chorus book tonight. Without him, number 91. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him,
bye.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn now to number 31 and sing, I Know the Lord Will Make a Way, number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, He'll save your soul, He'll make you happy, He'll make you whole. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Well,
lay his hand on me. I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105. Only believe. God. Well, why don't we look across the page and sing number 95, Hallelujah, He's an Answering God. Number 95. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Great power in that name. Praise God. In that name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know what? In that name of Jesus, we have the victory. Let's turn to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the Jesus. Well, it certainly does feel good to worship the Lord. Praise God. We are going to take up the collection now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for all Thy abundant blessings. We know that we could not be here without thy help, without Thy mercy, without Thy grace. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power, which has kept us for so many years. And we look to Thee, we depend on Thee, we believe in Thee, knowing, O God, that Thou art our provider, that Thou art our leader, that Thou art our teacher, and we know that all our guidance comes from Thee. We pray, O God, that Thy hand would continue to be upon this ministry. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in all things, we pray. We ask for Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy holy name. And we pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, but before we do that, we do have something we need to pray about. I did get a call yesterday from Carla Kurt, and it was regarding the results of the MRI they did on Chuck's back, and there are some problems there, and it's probably a little more detailed than I can go into right now, but actually the doctors are saying there's not a lot they can do about it. They are going to give him a shot next Wednesday to take down the inflammation and reduce the pain, but other than that, there's not a lot they can do for his back, so he needs extra prayer. You know, when the doctors can do nothing, God is still able to do all things. Praise God. So I told Carla that we would keep praying for Chuck, and we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this night, bringing our dear brother Chuck before Thee, praying, O God, that Thou would reach down from heaven, praying, O God, that Thy hand would be upon him. We ask, O God, that Thou would touch him, that Thou would touch his back. We pray, O God, that Thy healing virtues would flow. We pray, O God, for complete deliverance. Let him feel Thy presence now, even right now as we pray. We know, O God, that Thou art a miracle worker. We know that Thou can do all things. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would completely heal his back, alleviate that pain, we pray. We ask that he would be made 100%, every whit whole. We ask, oh God, for this deliverance, for this help, believing, oh God, that thou can do all things. We know, oh God, that thou art the creator of this universe. We know that thou brought us into existence, and we know that there's nothing too hard for thee to repair our bodies. So we pray for Chuck right now, asking, oh God, for complete healing and a complete deliverance. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. And there's a chorus that's just been on my mind today. It seems like it's been a little while since we've sung it, but it's number 19, Some Trust in Chariots. Number 19. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saved his anointed. Hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Risen and stand upright. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Praise the Lord.
Some reason I want the Lord to touch this little boy.
his name?
No, just a little boy in a trailer park.
Okay, well, we'll pray for him.
I know all the little children.
Okay.
Pray for
him. All right. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for this little boy on the trailer court. Lord, we don't know much about him, but we know, O God, that he needs thy help. And we pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven. We pray that thou would speak to his soul. We pray that thou would talk to him and draw him nigh unto thyself. We pray that he would be drawn to thee, that he would look to thee as Savior, as Deliverer, that he would look to thee as God. For we know, O God, that we all need thee so very much. And we pray, O God, for this boy that thou hast put on Barb's heart. We just ask for a touch from thee right now. We ask, O God, that he would reach out to thee and put his faith and his trust in thee completely. We ask this, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know what Barb is talking about. You know, you see the little children, and you know they've been abandoned and left to their own so many times. They don't have good examples. They don't know Jesus. They're not going to Sunday school, or if they are, they're maybe not being taught anything that's relevant. And, you know, I'll tell you what, I know what Barb is talking about. I know I was walking... Oh, maybe a month ago in this case, I was across from the park that is near my house, and there were a group of children there, and I just was on the other side, so I just thought, you know, they're playing, so I didn't think too much of it. But one little boy called out to me, and, you know, I thought that was really amazing, and then I got thinking it might be the little Mexican boy that I talked to last summer who wanted tracts and wanted me to give some Spanish tracts to his mother. And I don't know, but I've been thinking of this. I know I've talked to my girls and I've said, you know, we got to sit down and have a day where we do Sunday school materials. We just come up with some things because there's some kind of work I think that the Lord wants us to do yet. I just think of these children. They are so brainwashed and mistaught and you know, abandoned and, you know, left to their own, and what are they seeing? A bunch of rottenness and probably examples, you know, that, you know, maybe rotten, you know, words coming out of the parent or parents, whatever the case is. But oh, I'll tell you what, yeah, the little children need Jesus. They do, and you know, I think we need to claim them for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. I'm so thankful for all these faith-inspiring songs here tonight. And, you know, when we sing that song, In the Name of Jesus, I always think of years ago, we were in Appleton, Wisconsin, and there was a young girl. She was a teenager, I believe. Her name was Cindy. And she was praying for the Holy Ghost. And I remember we were singing that song, and I believe the Holy Ghost fell on her. It was, you know, some time we tarried that service, you know. It didn't happen immediately, but I don't know, maybe over down the road or something, you know, she spoke with other tongues as the Holy Ghost came into her heart. And I just always think of that when we sing that song, because, you know, you could feel the faith building up in her heart, and she got to that place where she could give it all over to the Lord and turn it over to Him. And, you know, I just thank God, you know, if we let faith grow in our hearts, things are going to change. God can work in that spirit of expectancy and just believing Him, taking Him at His word and you know, just going from there. And, you know, we have the victory in Jesus' name. Devils will have to flee, you know. Tell me who can stand against us. when we come in that great name. I'll tell you what, oh, we have a weapon beyond any weapon of this earth, any physical weapon. Praise the Lord, we have the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again, oh Lord, for this opportunity. Oh God, we know, oh Lord, that you've been good to us. And thy mercy has been wonderful, Lord. Oh God, that we can see and that we can understand and that we can have your word. Oh God, that we can gather here. We just thank you for these things, oh Lord, that we maybe just take, oh Lord, for granted. But I pray, oh Lord, that, oh God, you would use us. And oh God, we want to give back, oh Lord, that which you've given us, oh Lord, to the best of our ability, Lord, this great blessings that you've given us, Lord. Oh God, this truth that you've given us, Lord. Oh, this wonderful salvation, Lord, that you've given us, oh Lord, that we could share it, Lord, that we could spread it, oh Lord, that we could use it, oh Lord, it could be used for thy name's sake and for thy glory. Oh God, we just pray, oh Lord, that you'd use this word here tonight, that you'd speak to our hearts, and oh God, that you'd give us what we have need of, Lord, oh God, that we could feel thy presence, that we could have that touch from you, Lord. Oh Lord, that you would come down, oh Lord, and meet every need, oh Lord, and talk to our hearts, and help us, Lord, oh God, for we know truly we could do nothing without you, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you help us to believe. Oh God, that you'd help us to trust you, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you'd help us to express it in the name of Jesus, that you give us that simple faith as of a child to express, oh Lord, that thou art real, that thou art genuine, that thou art a God of miracles, and that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. And oh, yes, we come against anything that would oppose us here tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Matthew, the 12th chapter here tonight. And we're going to call this, By Thy Words. Just three words here, By Thy Words. Taken here from the 12th chapter, Matthew. If you could go there with me, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We live in a world that really doesn't know the way anymore. Most everybody, it seems, has lost their way. And you know, they might even think that they're a Christian. Oh, boy, I'd be very, very far from it. But let's go here to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and look at verses 34 through 37 here. So we begin here tonight. We have the words of Jesus. And he says in verse 34, Matthew, the 12th chapter, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I'll tell you what, these are rather to the point here, these words here, and something here to take very seriously, I feel, as the Lord is speaking, and you know, he's addressing the Pharisees. And whoever else was standing there, and you know, he's to the point. He isn't playing games with them. He's not trying to do some sweet talk to, you know, get their favor or something. But he says, oh, generation of vipers, and the word you snakes, you. And he just comes out and says, you know, How can ye, if you be, you know, if you're evil, speak good things? And then he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And, you know, the Pharisees were notorious for trying to cover up their evil deeds. And, you know, they'd go around in their flowing gowns and you know, their phylacteries and everything else, and their pretenses, their long prayers, and their fasting, and, you know, all the things that they did to try to impress people. But Jesus saw way beyond that. And he knew what was inside their heart. He knew that in spite of their pretenses and what they looked like and their outer shows, that there was something inside that was evil. He talks about how a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, he's going to be able to bring forth good things. But on the other hand, with the Bible, it's black and white, isn't it? You know, you don't have a whole bunch of gray. People these days like gray, it seems like, you know. They just, you know, want to cover everything over and kind of merge the two together and all. But Jesus didn't do that. You know, he's calling good, good, and evil, evil. He's not mixing, you know, oh, you sort of good man or you sort of evil man. You know, it's not like that. It's one way or the other. So he's telling them, you know, an evil man out of the evil treasure, of course, of his heart, bringing forth evil things. And then he's saying something, you know, rather bluntly here, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of. Now, I wonder how many people are thinking of that, you know. You overhear some conversations. I hear people hollering sometimes. I hear people cursing. You know, I hear people swearing. I hear nastiness of all kinds coming out of people's mouths. Just sometimes, just being the observer, just being the passerby, just standing there. And most people don't seem to care anymore. You know, in days of old, you know, if a child swore, the parent would take that child and quite possibly wash their mouth out with soap. Oh, maybe it'd be a spanking. Maybe it'd be a slap. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what. People knew once upon a time that you didn't say certain words. You know, you cursed, you swore, you took the Lord's name in vain. People used to know, and maybe it would slip at times, but, you know, in public, they'd try to be extra good, it seemed like. Or, you know, if they were in a church, I mean, you know, they'd just smooth everything over and you know, try really hard not to let any of that happen. But, of course, Jesus knew what was inside. But, you know, those things that slipped when nobody was listening, they thought. Those idle words that people said, you know, those long speeches that they gave, you know, oh, wow, when they're doing the blame game or cussing somebody out or whatever, all. Every idle word, it says that men shall speak. They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. In other words, there's one who's listening. There's one who hears. There's one who's keeping record. And that's our God Almighty. Amen. And nothing is passing his attention. You know, he's not ignoring. You know, he's not covering up. He's hearing it all. He's knowing it all. And there's nothing that you could do to hide from him. And this is all just to the point that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And then verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's so necessary, oh yes, to speak things of faith. You know, it's a lot going on, you know, and what comes out of our mouth does matter. You know, if you're believing God for something, then words of faith should come out. You know, it might not have happened yet, but if you're expecting it by faith, you're going to speak in that realm. You're going to speak things of faith, of expectancy, and believing that God is going to do it. You know, if you're believing that God is going to save your loved one, you want to speak in that realm where it's of faith. And that you know you're expecting God to change the matter. You need finances. You have other needs. Yes, we want to bring it to the Lord in faith. And we want to express faith. Because those words that we speak out of our mouth are going to matter. It says in Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You see, there's something that goes on. And we have ETH behind that word believe, which means an initial believing, of course. Because, you know, if we come to God, we've got to believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, with faith, it says there. In Hebrews, it is impossible to please God. So there's got to be that initial faith and that believing. But it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know, we begin to confess it with our mouth. We've got to believe it with our heart, but we're going to confess it with our mouth. And I'll tell you what, we all know that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it, as it tells us in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. So, you know, we've got to learn, oh yes, to give all of this over to the Lord and let Him work in us and change us and mold us and shape us, because it couldn't possibly be of our own righteousness. But as we come to the Lord and give things over to Him, that heart is going to believe that God has heard that petition, that God has heard that cry. Oh, yes, that prayer of faith, that He has heard it. And yes, we're going to believe it unto righteousness. And with a mouth, confess it unto salvation. It's interesting too, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, Jesus said in verse 32, Matthew 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, whom will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And I'll tell you what, here, you know, it's not, you know, just an initial confession of faith either. Oh, as we live this life, believe me, our actions are going to prove whether we confess or deny. And, you know, we've got to keep on confessing, I'll say, because, there's going to be some things that come up, and, you know, it might not be so easy at that moment. You know, some real, trials at the moment, or, tests where, we're put on the spot. And our faith is, somebody's pondering where we really stand. And, it's going to be necessary to confess the Lord and not deny Him. And we can do that in so many ways. It certainly can be with our words. And it can be with our actions and our deeds. And all of this works together to show who we are really, and what kind of faith we really have. And if we're going to stand, if we're going to continue to walk this road of light. And I know in Luke, the 12th chapter, it's very similar, but instead of saying before men, it says before the angels, that God will confess those that confess Him before men, before the angels which are in heaven. And on the other hand, those that deny Him before men, He will deny them before the angels. So obviously there's that working there together. But the need there, the things that come out of our mouth, those confessions that are heard, are so vital. And we always want to make sure that they are confessions of faith and not a doubt, not a fear. Oh, yes, not of denying the Lord Jesus. Let's also turn to James for a little time here. I want to go to one verse here in James, the first chapter. Remember, we've read there from Matthew that by our words we're going to be justified or we're going to be condemned. And here in James, the first chapter, verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So, you know, here it's just telling us rather clearly that, you know, if we indeed even seem to be religious, but yet if we don't curb or check our tongue, and we just let anything fly out of it, that we've just deceived our own heart. Because, you know, the mouth is going to speak forth the things that are deep down inside, the things that are in the heart. So, again, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridled not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It isn't going to amount to anything. You know, because if you're cussing and swearing and cursing and, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain and, you know, doing all kinds of vulgarity and all of that, it's, you know, nobody's, you know, they're going to think, oh, well, he's just one of us. You know, he's not a child of God. He's not a Christian. And now let's go to the third chapter of James, because we have a bit more to deal with here as far as the tongue and the words that come out of our mouths. In James, the third chapter, verse 1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And of course, masters could refer to teachers and instructors, all that kind of thing. And the point here is that there is a great responsibility in being a master or being a teacher, being an instructor. And God's going to expect even more out of such than he is out of other people. So here, this first point is being made here by James. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. But then he goes on to speak about this tongue that we have. It says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know, he's referring to how easy it is to offend with the tongue. The things that are easily said, the things that slip out at times, you know, the expression, I put my foot in my mouth, and, you know, the blunders that are made from time to time. And truly, as we continue our thought for tonight, I hope it comes out clear and strong that we need the power of God. We need the Holy Ghost to help us to bridle our tongue, or not to cause offenses in that sense. And James is teaching here, for in many things we offend all. It easily can happen. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So if you can control, in other words, your tongue, you're going to be able to control the rest of you, your whole body, the point is here. And then he goes on to explain in verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be great, so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Then he says in verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Interesting analogies here. You know, he's talking about putting bits in the horse's mouth. And that bit in the mouth is able to, you know, allow the driver to control that horse as to where you would have it to go or what you would have it to do. And he's talking about ships. And, you know, it is kind of a marvel when you think of it. You know, there's that, you know, that little steering wheel, you know, the captain or whoever is, you know, turning. And it's, you know, you could be in a really gigantic ship, but, you know, there's that little helm there, you know, that little steering wheel that controls it. And it's kind of amazing. And then he's talking about the tongue. Oh, just a little member of our person. But that tongue, oh, that tongue, oh, he's talking about how it boasteth great things, how these things just come out of the mouth. And it says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Oh, my, it can come so quickly, you know. And, you know, how fire is, you know, if you start a fire and it's not controlled, it's not in a confined area, it can easily spread, and rather quickly. And he's comparing the tongue to such. You know, it's a little member, but, you know, a fire starts out small too, doesn't it? You know, a match or whatever all has ignited it, and all at once, you know, maybe a little spark at a leaf, and, you know, before you know it, it causes a forest to be on fire. Oh, but the tongue can do so much damage in a very short time. Oh, a tongue that isn't controlled, a tongue that just goes off and maybe says critical, mean things, it can do a lot of damage. A whole person's reputation can be ruined by somebody's tongue that went off and said unseemly things. All at once, there could be a great fire because of somebody's words. And how do you take it back anyway? You know, oh wow, you can apologize, you can be sorry, but a lot of times that hurt still lingers and remains, maybe for years. And it goes on to say in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Oh boy. That tongue, oh yes, what conflicts have begun because of, you know, maybe one man, you know, one rabble rouser, one Hitler that, you know, got up and made speeches and, you know, began to persuade people and begin to convince people, and pretty soon, you know, we had a great conflict that developed, didn't we? Oh, yes, the tongue can easily set a fire, a great fire, that boasting and all of that, and all of the damage that can occur because of that. You know, I just want to go to a few places here in the scripture, coming back here to James, but let's just go for a moment to Psalms, the 52nd chapter. And we'll start with verse 1 here. And this, obviously, this portion of scripture, it explains, took place after David had gone to the house of Ahimelech. And his request there had been overheard by this Doeg, who was an Edomite, and he tattled it. He told it to Saul, and he caused the death of Ahimelech and the priests, the house of Ahimelech, because of what he had heard, and because of, you know, the nature that was in him and the fact that he wasn't with David. And here it tells us, as the psalmist is writing. It's a psalm of David. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. You know, it must have hurt terribly. You know, David, of course, not meaning any harm to Ahimelech, had asked him for some sustenance, and Ahimelech, you know, gave him some bread, and he also gave him the sword that had been Goliath's. And, you know, not knowing, of course, that there was an eavesdropper, that there was this Doeg that was listening and heard him, and, you know, he was actually an enemy, and he went immediately and reported it to Saul. Of course, at that point, David and Saul weren't getting along, you know, due to the fact that Saul was extremely jealous of what David had done and the esteem that people put in him, and there was a great conflict, and David was on the run for his life. But it must have hurt so much when, you know, because of what happened at that moment, Ahimelech and his household lost their lives. But it was because of a tongue that was out of control, that loved evil more than good, that rather would lie than to speak righteousness, and loved devouring words, as he's describing this deceitful tongue. And also, if we go to the second psalm, oh, we know that even at this point in time, there are many that speak out against God with their vanity, with their vain speeches, with their boldness, with their mischief. It says in verse 1 here in Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, that day that is forthcoming. Oh, yes, when the evil gather together, having taken counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, and oh, with their devices and with their plans to break the bands, the cords, you know, to have no more control from God, you know, in this world, to break that band, to snap it all, you know, to allow themselves to be the one in control, in other words, and to take over. But praise the Lord, God is greater than that. I love how it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord's going to have them in derision. And in spite of their big speeches and their big plans, their big get-togethers, their big councils where they come and plot and plan and all, you know, put their minds together to devise evil against God and against his people, yet there is a God in heaven that oversees and supersedes all of them. And the Lord's going to laugh. Oh, yes, when they gather together and think that, oh, yes, they can overcome the Lord. The Lord is going to have them in derision, and then he's going to speak unto them in his wrath. He's going to vex them in his sore displeasure. Oh, yes, God is coming back with vengeance. Oh, we've said it so many times. He came in mercy the first time. He came to save. He came to heal. He came to give us power over sin. But this next time, he's coming in vengeance. Oh, yes, he's coming. Oh, yes, in sore displeasure. Oh, yes, he's coming. Oh, yes, to bring about judgment and to end all the plotting and the planning and the evil conniving of evil men and women. And then, yes, as he speaks to them in his wrath, and oh, yes, nobody has seen anything like God's wrath. Oh, you know, Jesus showed just a little bit of it there when he went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers. Yes, it was just a little sample of it then, because that house, it was supposed to be a house of prayer. They had made a den of thieves. Oh, yes, he was not pleased with that. Now he's coming to overturn the world. Oh, yes, to bring about righteous judgment. Oh, yes, and he's going to come with wrath. And no matter what their plans are and how they have counseled together and, you know, how they have plotted and connived, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Oh, he's going to come. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, with a shout, with a voice. The archangel. Oh, yes, they're going to see him. Every eye is going to see him. Everyone is going to know at that moment that he has arrived. Oh, praise the Lord. Nothing will change it. And it says, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Well, I'll tell you what. If you have any wisdom at all, you're going to make your peace with God. You're going to get your heart right before this day. Oh, that day of vengeance. It says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Oh, this is what wisdom will tell you, to fear God. Oh, yes, and to turn to him, to repent of your evil deeds, to make your heart right with God. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. In other words, make peace with him. Make peace with the Lord, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. But oh yes, we know how they've connived and how they have their councils and how they have their meetings and, you know, how they write their agenda. And, you know, how we hear a little bit of it. I know Brother Sam, you know, wrote about, you know, the UN's agenda for 2030 and, you know, all their things that they've decreed there on paper and their hopes for complete control of this world. But oh, I'll tell you what, there is one that sits in the heaven and he's going to laugh. Oh, yes, he's going to have them in sore derision. That day is coming. Of course, we know, we talked about how that tongue deviseth mischiefs. And of course, we know how it started. It started with one who was an angel, one who was in the heavens. And if we turn to Isaiah 14, we can just read a little portion here. All the boasting, all that tongue that has all these boastings that come forth. Well, Isaiah 14, we hear the boastings of one who is called Lucifer. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, here was great boasting from one who was Lucifer, son of the morning. Oh, yes, he had a high place in the heavens. He was an angel of importance. But that didn't satisfy him. He wanted something more. Oh, yes. He wanted to be like God. Maybe he wanted to overtake God at that point. He's talking about ascending into the heaven. He's talking about exalting his throne above the stars of God. He's talking about sitting in the place where God is. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's talking about, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, that was the boasting of this one named Lucifer. But I'll tell you what, it didn't work, did it? Oh, no, and all the trouble that has continued because of this, oh, this boasting and this pride that entered in, and oh, these declarations that were made by this tongue of this angel. But God will have the last say. It says in verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Oh, I tell you what, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned or renowned. Oh, I tell you what, it's not going to be pretty, is it, at that moment? And there's not going to be no grave for that casting out. He's going to be cast out as an abominable branch, and those that are slain in great disgrace, as a carcass trodden underfoot, as it explains here, without any proper burial by any means. Of course, you know from the book of Revelation that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So it is. Amen. But there we see what evil came forth out of the utterance, out of the boastings of a tongue that was set on fire. And therefore, much has happened as a result of that boasting. As we go back to James, the third chapter, it says in verse 6 again, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7 explains, for every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Isn't that amazing? It declares here that every kind of beast and bird and even serpents and things in the sea, they've all been tamed at times by man. But this little member in the human body, this tongue, it says no man can tame it. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And it talks about the conflicts in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, how could you bless in one breath and curse in the next? It says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. It, you know, it's either salt water or it's fresh water. You know, the vine is, you know, it's going to, if it's an olive tree, it's going to bring forth olives. But if it's a grape, you know, it's going to bring forth grapes. You know, if it's a fig tree, it's going to bring forth figs. But this conflict with the human tongue, you know, blessing and cursing, how can it be? How can, you know, the same come forth, or the both come forth out of one tongue, out of one mouth, out of one person? It says in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I think it's so amazing that when the Lord fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, what does he take? He takes this little member, this unruly tongue that James is writing and saying that no man can tame it. But God takes this tongue. Oh yes, as we give our heart and we yield it to him, he takes that tongue and he begins to use it. Oh yes, we begin to speak in another tongue. The Spirit of God brings forth those words, that other tongue. God brings it forth. It's not of our own accord. It's not of our mind. You know, we don't even know what we're saying. But it's the Lord. We're allowing him to speak through us and take that unruly member that we cannot tame, that we cannot handle of ourselves, and make it into something that's profitable. Oh, bring it about so that it can be tamed. Oh yes, so that it can speak forth good things and be a blessing rather than a curse in this world that is so full of so many confusing things. If we go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we can read a little bit more here. As the Lord comes into our life, he begins to change us. And, you know, it's amazing. I had quite an experience. I guess it was Friday night. I was walking in my tracks, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I was going down Spring Street, and there's a bar on one corner, and outside the bar there were three individuals sitting out there, and it came to me that I should stop there and give them some tracks and talk to them. And it was an amazing thing. There was a man on the one side, a gal in the middle, and another man on the other side, and as I gave them the tracks, the woman, you know, she looked at it and said, do you allow lesbians in your church? And, you know, well, oh boy, you know, that was a loaded question from the start, you know, and she liked my response, and, you know, she just quickly put that track down and walked inside the bar. Well, I had opportunity to spend some time talking to the other gentleman, the one for a good season, and he talked to me and then said he had to go and, you know, went on his way. The other man I talked to a little longer, and he was having quite a good talk with him. In fact, he asked me to pray for him, and he said he would pray for me, and, you know, he talked like he would even consider coming to church. You know, he said he was Catholic, but he was kind of turned off by the Catholic Church, and last time he'd been there, all he did was talk about money, and he just felt like that shouldn't have been the you know, big point of interest there, or, you know, the big topic of the day, and you know, it turned him off. But anyway, we were talking about some serious things, and he even asked some questions. He asked me if I felt like the end of the world was at hand, and I was having a really good talk with him, actually. And then, you know, just as, you know, time was going on, a woman came out of the bar, and, you know, oh my, she was a little bit mad, I would say, you know. She, you know, couldn't believe that the young man was still talking to me, I guess. And, you know, she declared, "We're all sinners." You know, and then she said, "My niece is a lesbian, and I'm proud of her." And, you know, I said, "Well, God can change her." And, you know, she just took off from that, you know, and she said, no, nothing can change her. You know, she was born that way, and God made her that way. And, oh, this poor woman, you know, I said, "Oh, come talk to us if you'd like." And she said, no. And you know, she couldn't believe, obviously, the young man I was talking to was a relative also, and you know, he said, "This is my aunt. I guess I've got to go now." But, you know, it's quite a event, really, as things unfolded here. But you know, the things that come out of the mouth, the things that are stored in the heart, and you know, there was just a lot going on in this half an hour or so that I spent here with them that evening, or spent there that evening, you know. But praise the Lord, I'm so glad. You know, we're not born a certain way, you know, that, you know, we'd have to stay in such a condition. It's so sad. You know, astrologers have that thought too. You're born under a certain star, and, you know, you've got these characteristics, these traits, and nothing is going to change them because you're born under that star. But praise the Lord, or under that constellation, actually, this group of stars. But there is one in heaven who can change us. And praise the Lord, he made a way that we could come to him in faith. We could come to him and believe him. We could turn our lives over to a living God and know that he will hear us and that he will take us. Oh, yes, that he will redeem us, that he has redeemed us indeed. And oh yes, he takes that old man. Oh yes, he begins to turn us upside down. And it might be quite a process. You know, we come to him as we are, but you know, as the Lord begins to work on us, we repent and we're baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, and he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost as we believe. Oh yes, God begins to change our lives. Praise the Lord, he begins to change us. And here it tells us in Ephesians, oh, the great need to be changed by the power of God. It takes the Holy Ghost to truly turn us around, to make us new creatures in Christ, so that old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. But here, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 22, it tells us that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Oh, we know how we, you know, that verse there in Jeremiah that tells us how deceitful the heart is. But here, you know, the need to put off concerning the former conversation or the former conduct even of the old man, which is corrupt. There's nothing good about our old person. Oh, if people could only see that great need. It's only God who can change us and who can make something of us, who can make us new creatures, who can give us hope, who can put his spirit in us. Oh, that old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Oh, those lusts of the flesh, the allurements of sin. Oh, the degradation of sin. But instead it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, the Holy Ghost that renews our spirit as we dwell on the things of God, as we allow the Spirit of God to flow through our inner being so that our heart is stayed upon the Lord. Oh, yes, we find it on our knees. We find it in the Word of God. We find it through the Scripture, the foolishness of preaching even. And so we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Oh, yes, so our minds don't have to stay back there, oh, in the mud pile, oh, in the rut, in the deceitful lusts. And it says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, we know without holiness without separation. No man can see God. We went through, I believe, last week from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. But here it tells us, wherefore putting away all these changes that are going to come upon us when we really give our lives to the Lord, He is going to make us over. He is going to make us new. And it tells us in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26 tells us, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Oh, you don't want to go to sleep with wrath in your heart. Oh, no, it needs to be given over to the Lord. And then it says in verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. And this is quite a verse. It's telling us not to give any opportunity to the devil. In other words, don't give him a seat. Don't give him a place to sit. Don't give him any opportunity. You know, don't have something in your house that's going to draw evil spirits. Don't look at things that are going to cause your mind to lust after something that's lustful. Oh, yes, don't look on something that's going to cause you to sin. You know, watch what you do. Watch what you put in your house. Watch what you have on your mind. Watch what you read, listen to, hear, the music, the conversations, the movies, the television, all those things that are corrupt and according to lust. Oh, don't give place to the devil. Oh, so many people are unwittingly entertaining the devil. They're giving him a chair to sit on. Oh, yes, and they're allowing him to have a place in their life. But, oh, we are ordered here to not give place to the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, those things that are questionable. It's time to throw them out. It's time to get rid of them. We don't want anything. Oh, yes, that would attract devils or cause somebody to stumble or cause us to stumble. Something questionable. We don't want to hang out in the bar or some other place that, you know, could very easily be an offense to God and to man. And it tells us, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I love how the Lord takes us. Oh, it changes us. You know, we've got a prison ministry here, you know, and, you know, I'm sure it's not 100%, but there are a few guys and maybe gals. We might have a few gals also that have really turned their lives over to the Lord. You know, Brother Harry there, you know, and Portage, there's a man. He's in prison for life. But, you know, if you talk to him, you see his letters, you pray with him, you know God has done a work in his heart. God has changed that man, and he's not the old fella he used to be, and he's regretful for that past. You know, but he's given it to the Lord. And God has changed him, which is a wonderful thing. You know, he's not the same Harry that he once was. And it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearing, unto the hearers, rather. And that is something to watch, you know. There's an order here too. It's command. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Just nothing, you know, that would discredit the Lord in any ways. You know, cussing, swearing, cursing, take the Lord's name in vain. You know, vain talk, foolish jesting, anything that would take away severe criticism. You know, things that should not be a part of a Christian's life. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, out of your mouth, out of that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, I tell you what, That little tongue, oh, it can do so much harm in just a moment of time. It can hinder, it can cause hurts, it can cause heartaches, oh, it can cause divisions, it can cause divorces, it can cause murders, it can cause all kinds of evil. But when it's given over to the Lord, instead of being used as a device of the devil, it can be used as edifying, to edify, to build up the family of God, to help those that need help. Oh, yes, to bring the message of salvation to another. And praise the Lord, what a difference it can make, you know. Colossians, the 4th chapter, says in verse 5, Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then it says in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Oh, that's how the Lord begins to change us, so that, you know, we can walk in wisdom and redeem the time. Oh, the days are evil. We need so desperately to redeem the time. And then it says, let your speech be always with grace. Oh, we don't want any of that filthy talk to come out of our mouth. Oh, the Lord has changed us, that severe, critical spirit. And, you know, oh boy, sometimes I just want to disappear sometimes. I hear, you know, maybe a wife talking to a husband sometimes, and I just can't believe what she's saying to her husband, you know, and you know, it's just shocking. But, you know, we're supposed to have respect to our husbands and not just, you know, have a big mouth. You know, there's got to be a right spirit, you know, everything done with grace, and, you know, in a proper way where we give them respect and the authority for they are to be the head of a wife. But it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. It means with, you know, wisdom, done in a prudent way, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You know, the Lord gives us wisdom. You know, it says in the Proverbs that he that winneth souls is wise. And it's going to take God's wisdom. It's going to take God taking our tongue and taming it and changing it so that, you know, the words that come forth can be worked to edify the body of Christ. Oh, yes, to bring that person to repentance, to, you know, promote the goodness of the Lord. All those sort of things, but it's not going to be done with that natural tongue. That tongue that James says cannot be tamed. Oh, that's, you know, full of evil. So here, yes, we are told to allow no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, you don't know what good we can do to help somebody, to lift up their load, to point them to Christ. Oh, yes, to, you know, even, help them to smile. And it says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, so many things that people allow in their lives, what's even, they have been given over to the Lord. So often, there's grievous things that people allow. And, you know, these things can hinder so tremendously. But also, they can grieve the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, that Spirit of God whereby we have been sealed, if we've been sealed with the gift of the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. You know, it's pointed out in that first chapter of Ephesians, where Paul wrote in verse 13, in whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also After that, ye believed. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he explains in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Oh, yes, he has redeemed us. Oh, he has turned our lives around when we truly gave them to the Lord. We determined in our mind that we were not going to look back, that we were going to follow the Lord. We made up our minds that we were going to serve God regardless of consequences, regardless of who came with us. We were going to walk with the Lord. We were going to do his will. We were going to allow him to work in our lives. And oh, praise the Lord, how he begins to take us. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, as we grow in the Lord, oh, we don't want anything to do. You know, Scripture talks about loathing that old sinful way, just hating it, despising it, even that garment of sin, you know, just loathing it and wanting nothing to do with it, but putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And, oh, yes, not allowing anything within that would grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, all kinds of things can grieve the heart of God. People that are not truly committed, that allow a little bit of leaven in their life. Oh, to, you know, leaven the whole lump, or, you know, a little bit of gray matter, so to speak, you know, into their lives, thinking that it's going to be okay. But you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then it tells us in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Those old characteristics that we once harbored within our very beings, all that bitterness and that wrath. And, you know, wow, you know, don't let it grow. You know, something goes wrong and, you know, somebody's offended you, somebody's hurt you. Don't let bitterness grow. Don't let wrath become a part of you either. Oh, that terrible anger and that upset. These things need to be given to the Lord. He knows how to work it out. He knows how to change that other individual that offended you or hurt you or stole from you or, you know, whatever, all. Oh, it needs to go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, all those works of the flesh that try to get in and oh, turn us over and, you know, oh, make us very unchristian-like. Clamor, all the loud, obnoxious complaining, clamoring, evil speaking. Oh, we're not to speak evil of our brother or our sister. It tells us in God's word, it says, be put away from you with all malice, with all hatred, all those things that desire even to harm other people. That should be no part of our new man in Christ, our new person. And if all those things try to get in there, oh, we've got to let them go. We can't harbor those things. We can't give them any space, any room in our hearts. And it tells us in this last verse here in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, what a difference it can make when we're kind one to another and tender-hearted one towards another and, you know, not allowing unforgiveness in our heart. You know, we're clearly told in the Scripture, Jesus clearly declared it, if we can't forgive somebody, he can't forgive us. It's just that plain and clear, that need to forgive, to forget, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be patient, to have the works of the Spirit indwelling in our very being. So, you know, we're not harboring all those old things of the flesh that once were a part of our person. Oh, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, you know, What did we do to merit his salvation? What did we do to merit his forgiveness? He loved us when we were yet sinners. He died for the ungodly. Oh, he loved us back then. And he forgave us so much. All our trespasses have been blotted out by the remission of sins. Oh, yes, by his forgiving power and the remission of sins, which he has allowed. And what a wonder. Oh, yes. I just love how he takes us. We don't have to stay the same. And, you know, by the time I'd go into the next chapter, too, because it tells us how to conduct ourselves in a righteous way and the things that we need to let go of. But we know that we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in God's sight. As the psalmist wrote, in Psalms 19, verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, our goal, our aim is to please the Lord. Is it going to matter really so much what people think? What really, really matters is what God thinks, how he sees it, if we're living in accord to his word. And yes, if we let go of all the old characteristics, all the old traits, all the works of the flesh, all those things that hindered us. Oh, we want to be found acceptable in his sight. Or we know that one day we're going to stand before the Lord. That every idle word that has been spoken, we're going to have to give an account of. And as it tells us in that 12th chapter of Matthew, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's either going to be justified or it's going to be condemned. It's either black or it's white. There's no in between. Oh yes, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Oh, I thank God. We surely do want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Praise the Lord, our strength in our Redeemer. And surely it's only God who can give us that kind of strength. He's the only one who could redeem us. He's the only one who could set us free. He's the only one who could make us a new creature in Christ and help us to overcome the old man. And, oh, yes, oh, to put off all those old characteristics that we once had that were a part of us, so that people can see Jesus in us, so that we can be a light in this world, so we can put on Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. We want that mind that was in Christ to be in us, and that our words, oh yes, would always be seasoned with salt, with grace, words of wisdom that the Lord puts in there. Oh yes, because we've allowed him to come in, to take us, to take that unruly tongue, oh yes, and to move, oh yes, to change us, to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, so that we might be a temple of the Holy Ghost. We might be his children. Oh, yes, that we might, oh, yes, have words that would be justified in his sight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Work in our hearts, Lord. Change us, God. Help us to be what we need to be, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books one more time to number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be, number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. And you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.